first off, I just want to say, doesn't the church look amazing? Yes, right? Let's give a clap offering to those who came and decorated it. I mean, totally, I started walking around the campus today and I started thinking, my gosh, everywhere I went, there was some kind of decoration, you know? It's a lot of work to decorate this church. It's a big church. I wasn't able to be here yesterday to help do it because I was working, and I hate that light. I told them in first service, it reminds me, you know, when you get arrested, and, you know, those were the days. We haven't fun yet, right? Yikes. Anyway, it's an honor and a privilege to stand here before you this morning. I'm really blessed. I really appreciate pastors who do this week in and week out. I mean, they really have to have a heart commitment. It's fun to prepare a message to come, but you really want to divide the word of truth rightly. I mean, there's so much that's involved in it, a lot of prayer, and it's a time-consuming commitment. But first off, I do want to pray, so let's do that. Father God, we just thank you right now. And we know that your Spirit is here. And we just bless you, Lord, and we thank you and we praise you. And the worship was amazing, and we pray that it fell on your heart, Lord, and that you just continue to fall into ours. We love you, Lord. We bless you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm Sandy Lopes, for those of you who don't know me. I think this is a little loud. Is it a little loud, echoey? No? Oh, okay, it's from my end. Anyhow, I'm Sandy Lopes, and I've been a part of His Place for about 25 years. I stepped out of ministry for a season. I came to His Place at the small church, and I served there for many years with Pastor Joe and Therese, and it was a privilege and an honor. I have been able to see this church go through very different stages and watch the Lord just transform and change lives and do so much. And the growth of the church today and what we're able to do as the body of Christ is just phenomenal. God has been so gracious and so good, and He has done so much at His Place. You know, His Place, the place for imperfect people. And I believe that every church is a church for imperfect people. That, you know, we need some place to land that's safe for us. And the church needs to be that place. But oftentimes, I'm not sure that we always feel like it's a safe place for us. Today, my message to you is going to be, Pastor Joe had been teaching on the table. And he talked about the demon-possessed man who was cutting himself all up. And Christ was walking toward him, and then he cried out to Christ, "What do you want with me?" And Jesus wanted to set him free, and that's what Jesus did. And he cast those demonic spirits out into the pigs and off the cliff, and you know, and then he was healed, and he went out to go carry the message. And he was cutting himself, and he was doing all of that stuff. But what the Lord's been showing me is that our thought lives, we cut ourselves all up with how we think. What you believe about God, what you believe about yourself, you have to be careful how you think. The Scripture teaches us that. You need to think about what you're thinking about. So my message to you today is about how our thought life will prevent us from believing that we really belong at the table. Because we're in the table, we get saved, we're born again, and we think that all is well and it's just supposed to be perfect and we're not going to have any problems because Jesus saves, okay? And the truth of the matter is, it's not that simple and it's not that easy. And God does a deeper work in us and He calls us to a different level. And He wants us, He wants our whole heart, He wants all of us. And sometimes it's really hard for us to do that because we have so many other things that vie for our attention and our minds get tripped up. So the question to you today is, what negative self-talk are you cutting yourself with in your mind? And what thoughts are disfiguring you? What kind of negative self-talk are you allowing to cut you down? Demonic oppression is real, but sometimes we give Satan far too much. The word I want has just went. Credit. Thank you. Geesh, I need someone to come up here and whisper. No. Anyhow, we give far too much power to the enemy, and the enemy will cause us to believe the things that we think are the truth. You know, God does not condemn us. God corrects us. The enemy condemns us. So if you're listening to thoughts that are telling you that you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not this, you're not, you got to ask yourself, whose voice is it that you're listening to? And some of this stuff is in us because we're conditioned as children. You know, we grow up in families of origin where we're not really loved, we're not nurtured, we don't develop properly because we believe all these lies. There was nobody there, I was alone, where were you, God? And you know, God was there. But the truth of the matter is all those things form and shape us. And then when we become believers of Jesus Christ, now we're supposed to be just perfect and good and everything's fine, when in reality, the journey has just begun. And the Lord's word is what's going to change us. But oftentimes we will make, you know, excuses for why we're not in his word. My message that I bring to you today really isn't an easy message to bring first service. You know, I was talking about, I started this message a couple of weeks ago and God started changing it. I changed it 3 times. And today, before I got here, I changed my shoes 3 times. You know, it's like I couldn't get focused. And I know I have these things that go on in my head too. And I've been going through a season where life's been really tough, and it's been a couple of years. And when you go through seasons that are really tough, sometimes you start to grow a little bit weary, and you'll start to believe the things that are being whispered in your head. I don't sleep well at night, so what I do is I pray for people, I do that kind of stuff, but what I've started to do is I've started to take, it's called Trigum Healing, and I take my phone and I put an earplug in and I listen to scriptures. I just listen to, the Lord is good. I trust that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. God is powerful. God is just. God is true. God is, right? God, all about God. Because the truth of the matter is, my head doesn't take me into a good neighborhood. I have thoughts that want to trip me up, make me feel bad about who I am, tell me I'm not going to measure up. The lies. We're conditioned to believe the lies. But we need to recognize our negative self-talk needs to be healed. And for most of us, we don't. We just think. We have 1,300 thoughts, words, a minute. That's a lot of words in a minute, because we see in pictures. So right now you're sitting there listening to me, but some you were having thoughts, okay? We're processing what you're hearing, you're thinking about maybe lunch, you're thinking, you know, whatever. But the truth of the matter is, we're always thinking. So, and we need to recognize that those negative thoughts need to be changed by the Word of God. And what are you feeding your negative thoughts? Are you working on changing your negative thoughts, or are you continually just feeding them? Oh, well, you're just having this thought. And I'll give you an example. Like, say, for instance, I have a friend, and I get into an argument with her, and all of a sudden I walk away. I'm feeling kind of funky. She's feeling kind of funky. But the next thing you know, in my head, because she's my friend, and I know her, I have history, the next thing I know, I'm starting to have these conversations in my head about my friend. And she is, and she might be doing the same thing. And the truth of the matter is, I have to stop myself, say, wait a minute, what is the truth? She's my friend, and I love her, and she's a neat lady, and we just had an incident, and we need to reconcile this, and we need to bring God into this, and we need to pray about this, and we need to talk about this, instead of maybe going and talking to somebody about her, or doing something like that, because negative thinking creates negative consequences. It just does. So God wants to reveal to you the root cause of those thought processes. And for many of us, that's a hard thing to do because we don't get still long enough to listen to God to let him reveal. And then God wants to give us the application of his word that will free us from that type of thinking. And then the next thing he wants to do is transform us. So the Lord wants to give us revelation, give us application, and he wants to transform us. We're restored. We're not perfected. Just like the demon-possessed man was restored. He was not perfected. That doesn't happen until we go into glory. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "The word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart." The part in that scripture, and I know there's it's a different translation up there, that I love, is that God's word is active and full of power. Say it, church, full of power. We have Holy Spirit power to transform us and change us, but do we really walk in that? Do we really believe that? And, you know, the heart and the mind, the connection there, you know, do we really believe that we can be transformed and changed and not think like that anymore? Thoughts are powerful. You got to be careful how you think. So what are some of the strongholds that we struggle with? Fear, abandonment, rejection, poverty. And I'm not talking about just financial poverty, spiritual poverty. Some of us were born again, we're saved, but do we spend time with God? I'm guilty of that. You know, I've been walking with the Lord for a while now, but I'm still guilty of that. There are days when I have issues, struggles, things like that. And, you know, I'm sitting there in my, you know, I get up in the morning, I come to, I don't wake up, so I have to have a cup of coffee, and I sit there, and I start, you know, with this devotional, and I've read it, and I'm starting to write in my journal, and yet a whole hour passes, and I don't have a clue what I just read. I don't have a clue what I just did. Because I'm really not focused. My head is running. And I'm thinking about all these different things that I gotta fix, I gotta change, I gotta do, I gotta make it happen. And the Lord says, no. No, you don't. You can't do it on your own, in your own strength, Sandy. None of you can do it in your own strength either. Change your thinking, change your life. That's the truth. So Satan will guilt us with thoughts about our past, what people may or may not saying about us, or speaking lies that ultimately cripple us as individual Christians. He really will. When negative mindsets set in, we beat ourselves up, and we believe what we think is the truth. We think what we think is the truth, instead of acknowledging what God is doing in us and what he says about us and who we are to him. God doesn't do that. He doesn't beat us up. We do it. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're being condemned, it is not God. It is the enemy of your soul, and he wants to keep you stuck, and he wants to keep you in Egypt, and he wants you to keep going round and round. Is anybody else hot? Can somebody turn the air on? Oh, I thought I was going in menopause again. It's like, man, I'm like sweating. I'm like, really? Okay, so and onward ho. Right? Okay, yeah, the light. So God wants us to remember that we belong to him. You know, and long before psychology came around, God said your thoughts are going to determine your feeling, and your feelings are going to determine your actions. And if you want to change your life, you have to control the way you think. Isn't that true? When you start having a thought, you start having a feeling, and then you do a behavior. It's kind of like the drug addict. You know, relapse comes because you start thinking about it. The next thing you know, you start reminiscing, feeling good about it. You think it's a good thing. And the next thing you know, you're doing it. You know, it's the same thing. When you have a negative thought about your husband or your friend or whatever, the next thing you know, you're feeling that way about that person. And then the next thing you don't like them anymore. And they're not in your life. And da 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 da. Because powerful. Your mind is so powerful. The Lord says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed any longer to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know what the perfect, peaceable will of God is for your life. Washing your mind with the Word of God. Sometimes we feel inadequate, and that negative self-talk really kicks in. Proverbs 4:23 says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Romans 12:2 again, do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of the mind, renewing of the mind, renewing of the mind. That is my life verse. When I first became a believer, God gave that verse to me because he knows how much I struggle with my thought life. I still do. I wish I could stand before you today and say, oh yeah, it's all good now. I don't have any negativity anymore. I don't think like that anymore. No, it's a battle, and the battlefield is here. It starts here. The battlefield is in the mind. And when you start to take control of how you think, you will be radically transformed and changed. It's really the truth. God does a deep work in us through our thought life. So at the times that, you know, our feelings take over our emotions, we have to stop ourselves and say, what am I thinking about? What am I thinking about? When we put ourselves down, or we believe the lies that we're saying, what are we saying about what we believe about God? What are you saying about what you believe about God? That you're not made in His image? That you're a mistake? That you're a wreck? And God doesn't know it? You know, that's not true. So is God your safe place? What do you believe about God? Do you think He's good? Do you think He's for you? Do you think He's proud of you? Do you think He cares about you personally? Do you think He loves you as much on your worst day as He does when you're having a good one? Do you think He hears and answers your prayers? What you think about God says a lot about what you think. So we question, are we good enough to stay at the table? We struggle with things like drug addiction, depression, pornography, overeating, overspending, gluttony. We need to allow God into those places. Whenever sin trips you up, and the way that you think about it is very significant to God. It's not an insignificant thing to Him. It matters to Him. We matter to Him. His desire is for us to allow Him to transform us by the renewing of our mind, that we would come to believe what He says about us and the scriptures that He gives to us to tell us how to live our lives. You know, what are we to think on? We're to think on things that are true, noble, just, lovely, pure, right, good. That's in Philippians. And you know, are you thinking those things? So when you're going tripping off in your head, you have a fight with your spouse, and you start frickin' fracking in your mind, the thing about it is for you to stop yourself and say, you know, what am I thinking? What am I thinking about? And then pull yourself in. And remember that this person that you made a commitment to is the person that God brought you to and with. And befriend yourself and them. Navigating through life the way that God calls us to navigate our life is just such a blessing. And is it easy? No. So how do we overcome negative self-talk? The Bible teaches us the principle of replacement. Fix your thoughts on what is true and what is good and what is right. Think about all that you can thank God for and be glad about. That's Philippians 4:8. And it is the same scripture that I just was talking about, you know, to think on things that are noble, just, lovely, pure, right, good, that if you think about these types of things, your thinking will change. So we have to practice thinking like that. Number one, we have to confess to God, you know what? My thought life needs help. It needs your help. And you need to get still with Him and confess your need for Him to help you with the negative self-talk. In other words, don't think about all that's wrong with your life. Think about all that's good and all the things that you can thank God for, right? That's a huge lesson for us. You're constantly talking to yourself. You're constantly talking to yourself. As I began to get ready for this message, I really couldn't focus, and I was telling you that earlier. And one of the things that I started to look at was, you know, the banquet table where the rich guy is going to invite, boy, my mind. And I have 15,000 thoughts going on at one time, you know, and I'm trying to hone myself in here, you know. The rich guy is going to have a banquet, and he's inviting all these people to come to this banquet. And when you're invited, just like when we're invited to come to something, we RSVP. Well, these people had to RSVP too. And these men and women did RSVP, and then, because the guys have to prepare all the food, the servants prepare all the food, and then they go and they tell all the guests it's time to come and eat. The table is ready. Well, they go out, the servants, and they tell, you know, the guys, hey, the food is ready. Everybody come to the table. And this one guy says, you know what, I'm sorry, I can't make it. Today I have to go out and look at the land I purchased, his work. Okay, then this other person goes, you know what, I'm sorry, I can't make it. I have to go out and check on the oxen that I bought, his possessions. And then the next person says, you know what, I'm sorry, I can't make it. I just got married and I want to go hang out with my wife. Relationships. So work, possessions, relationships, okay? We do that. They become more important than our time with God. This message that I'm bringing to you today is about you and your relationship with Him. And that is, the more time you spend with Him and you don't make up excuses for why you cannot, you will grow and you will change and your thinking will change as well. It's really about doing that. And as I was studying and I was reading and I was thinking about that banquet, and then I was reading this other book, and it's called In the Middle of the Mess. and it's by a really well-renowned author, writer, songwriter. She travels all around with women of faith, and her name is Sheila Walsh. And she wrote this new book, and I started reading this book, and it's called In the Middle of the Mess. And in her book, she starts talking about her entire life. She has struggled with depression and wanting to kill herself. And I thought, I had a paradigm shift. How many of us struggle with the same thing all the time? I struggle with depression. I don't struggle with wanting to kill myself. But as I began to read her book and I started to think about the many people that I counsel and the many people that I meet with and the places that I go and preach and teach and do the things that I do, I started to think about how as Christians we get the message that if we're hurt or we feel hopeless, we're not a good witness of our faith. That we can't be navigating through that kind of stuff. You got to pretend like all is well. And I'm not saying that we do that in this church particularly, like we do it here, but when you're out there in your life and other places, you know, how are you a good witness for Christ if you're saying, you know what, I've been walking with Jesus my whole life, but I want to die. But these are the things that you take to God, that you sit with God with, and you let Him take you through the Word of God and show you how to navigate it. This church, there's a lot of hurting people in this church. I believe every church has a lot of hurting people. It's a hospital for the hurting. But you know, the Lord wants to restore those things for us. We have to be careful how we think and what we believe. And if we think that we have to perform for God, if we think that we have to always act like we're okay for God, then we have a really skewed concept of who God is. And that we need to have a paradigm shift with it. God loves us. So much. That is something, ladies and gentlemen, I have struggled with for a very long time. I wish I could say to you, He loves me and I know it. There are days that I absolutely do. Absolutely. But there are other days that I do struggle because things will be happening that are very difficult and very hard. And I question, I wonder, where are you, Lord? I don't get it. I don't understand. This was horrible. This is awful. Or somebody I know goes through something that's extremely difficult. Where were you, God? And you know what he says? I was there. I'm always there. I never move. I never change. I'm always there. I am that I am. I am always there. So even though I may think something, it doesn't make it true. And even though I think he's not there, he is. He says he is. So either I believe he is or I don't. So as Christians, we need to learn to become God-dependent and not self-dependent. You know, we've learned a lot of different coping mechanisms, avoidance techniques, and the lies that I just shared, you know, as that we believe as Christians. These things keep us blind to where Christ is with us in the middle of the mess and how we can walk with Him in faith, in grace, and in transparency. I believe we've all felt alone, we've all felt confused, and we wonder where he is. And our mind sets in and tells us that he doesn't care. But the truth is he does. But our human frailty wants to make us believe something different, and the enemy wants to attack us in those places of weakness when we're struggling with it. So we have an enemy whose job is to kill, steal, and destroy our relationship with Jesus and our self-worth. And he whispers lies, believable lies, into our minds. You're not valuable. You're not worth anything. You're not beautiful. You're not smart. You're not tall enough. God doesn't love you. You're not important. And as these things start to pile up within us, they start slowly destroying the truth and our passion for life. Before long, we become victims to our own negative self-talk. I have to remind myself often, it is okay not to be okay. It is okay not to be okay. And God is with me in all things at all times. He's never left me. He will not forsake me. These are the truth of who God says we are and that we're so important to Him. You know, as I was reading, I came across this statement and I just thought it was true. Salvation is a huge compressive word. It means freedom. And there are three tenses of salvation. We have been set free from the penalty of sin. We are being set free from the power of sin, and we will be set free from the presence of sin. Our initial confession to Christ, our past is gone, the old is gone, the new has come. Okay, he paid for it, the price in full. So Christ secures our eternal salvation. But in the present tense of salvation that's offered to us right now in the middle of a mess, God introduced me to a word about 9 years ago, so-so, and it means to save, to deliver, to heal, and to make whole. And that delivering that daily healing process is what we need. So-so, to save, to deliver, to heal, to make whole. He wants to make us whole in the middle of the mess. But what we have a propensity to do is walk around and think about the mess. We don't think about inviting God into the mess, praying to God, believing God, saying, thank you, God, that I'm in this mess. I know you're going to make this mess better. I know you're going to provide. Thank you, Lord, for who you are in my life. Thank you, God. I love you, Lord. Thank you, God. I trust you, Lord. I know, God, you're going to get us through this. Thank you, God. Normally, we don't do that. And he wants us to remember that he wants to save, deliver, heal, and to make us whole. And Christ can save us from our present-day pain and shame, no matter how ugly the internal mess is. I know that this message isn't an easy message, you know. It's not a real feel-good message. It's really requiring something of you, you know, because we're invited to the table. And we are with Jesus at the table. We're going into glory with Jesus. We know that. But how about between here and there? What are we doing, you know? And God wants to transform us. He wants to change us so that we're more effective for the kingdom of God. The enemy would like us to stay stuck in our stuff, right? Me, personally, I have all this negative. I do. I struggle with negativity. That's one, you know, it was spoken over my life once. You know, Sandy, you have a critical spirit. I'm like, what? And you know what the truth of the matter is? I did. And at that time, it was horrible. It's like you need people in your life that can speak truth over you, that can help you acknowledge some of the things. God brings us people. He brings us books. He brings us radio. He brings us television. He brings us what we need in order to start embracing how we need to change. And we need to meet with him in the middle of the mess. We need to spend time with God. Coming to church on Sunday mornings, going to Bible studies, and all that stuff is awesome. It's wonderful, and it changes us. But your personal time with God is what's going to change you. And I wish I could say to you right now that my personal time with God is money. It isn't always like that. There are times that I avoid God. There are times I don't want to talk to God. There are times I am mad at God. There are times I don't want to pray to God. There are times I just don't know. But then I realize it's my thinking. And I say, Lord, help me. I need to change the way that I think. Think about what you're thinking about. You need to allow the Lord into your thought life. We just think. So the gift of so-so, healing, it's God's present action to us, no matter where we are. And when you spend time with God, your negative thoughts about yourself will dissipate, and you'll become more joyful as you focus, and it will turn outward to helping others and encouraging others. Somebody shared a story with me today that I thought was pretty cool. She was talking about she and her mate had an argument, and they were coming, they were going to help decorate the church, and you know, then they were in the car and they were thinking, oh, forget it, you know, should we just go home? And it was like, no, you know what? We made a commitment, let's go to the church. So even in the middle of our mess, right, we keep our word, we keep our commitment, we do what we say we're going to do. And they showed up and they started serving other people. And the minute you start serving other people, all of a sudden you start to recognize that what was going on with you wasn't really that big a deal. Your thinking begins to change. You start to see from a different perspective. All of a sudden it becomes a glorious day. You know, you're helping make a place look beautiful. You're transforming it. You get to be of service. There is no greater privilege than serving Jesus, okay? There is no greater privilege than serving his kids. There is no greater privilege than hanging out with God. You know, there are other countries that are so oppressed that they don't have the freedoms that we have. And I think sometimes we just have a sugar-coated faith. We don't, you know, spend that time with him because, you know, I got work. I got my possessions. I got my relationships. Take time for God. He's life's only lasting investment. Really. And why? Because it changes us. Changes us to be happy in our own skin. Changes us to where we glorify Him. You know, the happiest people I've ever met in my life are people that I meet that have been walking with the Lord for a while, and all they're doing is serving God. Really. It's like, and they just have a glow about them. You know what I'm talking about? You know those people. And I'm not saying to be out of balance, radically out of balance, and be doing all this and not doing that. I'm saying to actually spend time with the Lord so that you can go out and impart this stuff to other people and into their lives. The truths found in the Bible offer us very practical steps to eliminating negative self-talk. So we need to practice those things. You know, some people I meet with say to me, you know, Sandy, I don't really know how to do that, you know. I don't know how to meditate on God's word. So my question to you is, do you worry? Then you know how to meditate. Okay? Do you let your head trip? Are you this, you know, you're going to figure out how to fix this problem. You're going to be, you know, you're driving your own ship. You know how to meditate. So what you do is you stop yourself and you think about the principle of replacement. You start to look up scripture about the thing that you're struggling with. You start to let God's word wash your mind so that you may find the perfect, peaceable will of God for your life. You know, we can meditate like David. David in Psalm 63:6, I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Well, I lie awake meditating on my problems. Or I lie awake meditating on things that are bothering me. Or I lie awake thinking about friends that are going through hard things. I lie awake. And you know, not that I don't pray and not that I don't do some of those things. I do. But I also recognize that sometimes my mind won't quiet down. So I use this, it's called Trigham Healing. And I put it in my iPhone and I stick a little thing in my ear and I listen to scripture. And this man is just, his voice is talking to me about how God loves me. Another one will talk about the peace of God. The other one will talk about the healing of God. The other one will talk, and you know, that calms my spirit down. See, it's listening to me isn't always a good thing to listen to. I just want to encourage you, and I hope this message is not one that you're feeling condemned or you're feeling bad, because that is not the purpose. The purpose is to say, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord loves us. He wants all of us. He wants to hang out with you. He wants to transform you. He wants to change your thinking. He wants to bless you. And you get those things by hanging out with God. Like, you know, when you go hang out with friends, you're way blessed, aren't you? I mean, you just have a great time. You go to a ball game. You do all these things, and you feel uplifted. You feel good. It's like, that's how God is. When you learn to practice those principles. And God makes a promise to us in Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. So thinking about God, like when you're having a problem with a friend or whatever and praying for a solution and asking Him to direct you and to help you, is much more effective than sitting there and just ruminating and staying in Egypt and going round and round and round the mountain, right? I was saying to you earlier that I struggle with negative self-talk, and I do, and I went to a conference at Vanguard University a couple weeks ago. It was a leadership training for women, and it was Dr. Sandy Morgan was putting on this event, and the SoCal Network of Women Ministers, who I'm part of, and my women, and I'm president of that group, and we were there to co-host this event. But I was told initially we were going to talk a little bit, and then was told, no, we're not. And the event was about the pillars in your life. Who are those people? Who are those people that hold you up? Your confidants, those people that you go to that will help you through the trials and the tribulation of your life. Who are those people? It was a great message. And, you know, it was these women that were coming up to the stage to talk about those pillars that were in their life. And Dr. So-and-so got called up. And Dr. So-and-so got called up. And Dr. So-and-so got called up. And I am not Dr. Sandy. So it was kind of like intimidating a little bit. And I was feeling a little out of place. And yet at the same time, I knew I belonged. But it was like, you know, the collegiate level, that's not my deal. I have some education. And I wish I had more, but anyhow, I'm sitting there, and then they call me up. And now I've got to go up and talk. Everybody else had like 12 minutes. I have two. I have 2 minutes. And I'm like, oh, I have to go. Oh, I'm going. Oh. I get up on the stage. The first thing that comes out of my mouth is I go, I'm sorry, I'm ill-prepared for this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that wasn't the right thing to say. We're co-hosting. And I look at my friend, Sandy Morgan, and she kind of looks at me like, really, Sandy, you just said that? And I'm like, oh, I know. And then I start, you know, talking about my pillars, these women, that what we do and why we do it, and I'm calling them up, and they're coming, and I can't remember my treasurer's name. I'm going, and she is, sounds like, no, really, I'm like really embarrassed now. And the next thing I know, the thing is over, and I have my bat out, and I'm just beating myself up. You know, oh my gosh, what was I doing? What was I thinking? Why was I there? Oh my gosh. You know, I embarrassed the SoCal Network of Women Ministers, on and on and on. You know, I don't think anybody really thought about it, to tell you the truth, because I'm just not that important. But you know, like in AA, when I first got sober, I remember hearing, I don't think too highly of myself, but I'm all I think about, you know? Yeah, right? And we do that. We get on our minds, and we just keep ourselves on our minds. So the next thing you know, a couple days later, I'm invited. I'm going to go over to a minister's retreat. So I go to the retreat, and I'm driving there, and I'm thinking in my head, now I'm going where all the real Christians are, those who have grown up in the church, and I didn't. And these are the godly people whose their legacy. I'm not kidding you. Their grandmother, great grandmother, grandmother, and the Assemblies of God. There's a lot of heritage, and it's awesome and it's wonderful. But you know, when you're sitting on the other side of the fence and you're feeling like you're not that, and you're beating yourself up. All of a sudden, I'm going to this thing, and I'm feeling way less than. And the theme of the retreat was called Crucial Conversations. And the conversations were about our self-talk, your talk with your spouse, and how we talk to the world. And I thought, oh. And I was grateful because I got to stay for the first one, which was our self-talk. And this professor, Dr. So-and-so, stood up and started sharing about who he was, how he's written books, how he's done this and he's done that, and how inadequate he felt, and how his negative self-talk kicks in, and how he thinks these certain thoughts and these things about himself. And suddenly the Holy Spirit quickened me and said, Sandy, there are no other than Christians. There are just Christians, you know? And the credentials and all of those things aren't the things that matter to God. But how we think about ourselves says a lot about what we think about God. So we have to really be careful how we think. But you know, the mental triggers will come and you will struggle. And you have to be ready for those struggles. And the more you feed on God's word, the more you'll be able to encourage yourself. The more you'll be able to speak truth over your own life. The more you'll be able to help others, because the truth will set us free. Amen? So you gotta confess your negative self-talk, your disappointments, your sadness, your struggles, your anger. We need to acknowledge what's inside of us for reals to God and to one another. You need safe people. You need to be able to talk about these things. We have a tendency to stuff it, and it bubbles over and we leak. We perform because we don't want to lose our witness for God. And we lose ourselves in the process of being stuffers, and we hide from Him, and we hide from others. God tells us, I am your safe place. I am your covering. I am, tell me everything. I am. The principles of replacement. We see ourselves from the perspective of where we're sitting in the mud. And God sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we don't have to pretend to like where we are. We can say whatever we need to say to God and ask Him to help us through it. In Psalm 44:21, God tells us that He knows what we're thinking about. God would surely have known it, for He knows the secrets of every heart. God knows us. He knows what's in us. You can't really hide from God, even though you think you are. You can't. We have to practice a strong, anchored life in Christ amidst the challenges and the instabilities that can rock us. I know a lot of you in this room, and I know a lot of you are walking through in your lives. And it is challenging, and it isn't easy, and it is stressful. But you know, and I know, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We believe in Jesus Christ, that he paid a price on that cross for us. We believe that God loves us, but do we always act like it? God wants all of you. He wants you to hang out with him more. So the principle of replacement, change your thinking, change your life. Through confession and trusting God and meditating on his word and believing what he teaches us about yourself. You can't always change the circumstances, but you can change your thinking. Do you guys believe you can change your thinking? Yeah. I mean, because for most of us, really, I would say, thoughts just come and go. You know, I'm driving down the street, I'm on the freeway, and I'm going to the Euclid off-ramp, and the next thing you know, I'm past it. And I'm like, how did that happen? Because I'm so engrossed in my own thought life that I just blew right by, right? You guys can relate to that, I know, because we all do it. What I do know is we're all more alike than we are different. We really are. We all struggle with some of the same issues. Circumstances may be different, but we struggle with a lot of the same issues. You know, I have said to God, I don't feel safe. I don't think you're going to take care of me. Where were you when such and such and such and such happened? I have said those things to God. And like I said earlier, he says, I was there. I never move. I never change. I'm closer than a brother. I created you. I put a new heart in you, Sandy. I'm transforming you. I'm changing you. It's a process. It's not an event. That's how can we walk with God and we gradually change. Worry and grief and anxiety and fear all attack our spirits and our minds. So the Lord wants to show us, his kids, that peace that surpasses all understanding in every circumstance, even when all feels lost and hopeless, that he can grant us peace if we'll focus our thoughts on him, if we'll change our thinking. In other words, when we place our trust in our Creator, he pours out his peace on us, so we'll actually guard our hearts and our minds. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Becoming a follower of Christ is not restrictive. It opens up a whole new world of exciting possibilities, adventures for the kingdom of God. But it does require that we do not embrace or conform ourselves to the way of this world, that we make these other things more important than our relationship to God. And you know what? God doesn't beat us up. And if anybody's feeling that today, I'm sorry, that was not my intention. It really is my intention to draw you closer to the Lord so that you would know how deep, how wide his love is for you, so that you would know that even in all of these hard situations in your life, he loves you so much. And he just wants to be with you in it. It's like a close friend that knows you're going through a hardship and a hard time, and they call you on the telephone and they say, hey, I'm coming over. Or, you know, they come to comfort you. They come to hang out with you. They come to be with you. That's what God wants to do. He wants to be your comforter. He wants to be your strength. He wants to be your hope. He wants to be your joy. He wants to be your source. So, you know, I just want to thank God that we are valuable, that we are significant, that we are forgivable, that we are capable, and that we will allow God to renew our minds because our lives are shaped by our thoughts. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's masterpiece. Makes me think about, you know, the Sistine Chapel and all the paintings and all the art and everything that's there. Those masterpieces didn't happen in a day. They take time. But we are his masterpiece, and we're being changed, transformed, molded, shaped by the Lord as we hang out with him and we spend time with him. So the message today, ladies and gentlemen, is stop cutting yourself up with all your negative self-talk. You belong at the table. God wants you to stay at the table. He wants you to believe how much he loves you. He wants you to have understanding of who he is and his word. Change your mind, change your life. We can all practice the scriptural principle of replacement and meditate on God's word. You know, the difference that changing a negative thought life pattern can make in your life is nothing short of phenomenal. It will radically change you if you change the way that you think. You have a hard circumstance, but if you start praising God and thanking God for this situation and believing that he is in it with you, that God will get you through it, that God is your redeemer, he is your restorer, you will start to think differently. So, look at me. I'm 12:27. So I'm going to pray for us and excuse us. Father in heaven, we come humbly before you, asking forgiveness for all the times we allow our mind to deceive us. We have given you our hearts and our souls and our lives, and yet our minds still get in the way. Forgive us, Father. Help us remove all doubt, all wrong thinking, for we know it's a stumbling block, and we no longer wish to live in bondage of the mind. Father, send your blessings. We receive them. Send your mercy and grace, Lord God. We thank you for it. And through you, we can accomplish the things we set out to do. And may our lives bring you glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.